Shooting out sparks over 38 states, the Canadian plains, and the tequila fields of Mexico.
A program most deserving of a grand introduction.
The Nocturnal Journal.
The Talk of the Town. WGN Radio 720.
With your guide, Dave Hoekstra.
Daytime turns me off and I don't mean maybe.
Welcome to Nocturnal Journal on this Saturday night. I'm here, Dan Long. I'm here. I'm reporting for duty.
We're all here.
Yeah. So we got a good show tonight. We're going to pay tribute to Uncommon Ground and the 10 o'clock hour with some live music from Brad Peterson. And the first hour, we're going to take you to Turkey and a lot of Istanbul, I hope, because I've got great memories of Istanbul. And we've got a really interesting panel in the studio. We're going to start with my friends who I met at the Randolph Street Market from Cafe Korbel. Am I saying that right?
Yes. New
Turkish cafe on Clark Street.
Correct. We're actually an American-European cafe. We're an American-European cafe.
Okay, all right. And then joining in a little bit once we set up the Cafe Korbel stuff is my friends Hector and Celine Maladano, who gave me my tour of Istanbul back in 2012. And Hector's quite a photographer. He's taken a lot of great pictures of life in Istanbul and probably outside of Istanbul.
Everywhere and anywhere.
So I wanted to use the cafe as the entrance into this topic. So it's a relatively new. Like I said, I ran into you guys at the Randolph Street Market. So talk about how the cafe came about.
Yeah, sure.
And introduce yourself.
Okay, sure. My name is Iris Erkoka. I moved to Chicago from Turkey in 2008. So I didn't have any backgrounds on baking or cooking, but I was always good eater, tasting.
You're in the right place.
So yeah, I always like to eat food and taste new things. So my background is in interior architecture. Also, I like to design and see some stuff in different way. So in 2015, I was out with my brother and he told me like, okay, do you miss any Turkish food? I said, of course. And then he said, what do you miss most? I said, börek. Yes. So börek is one of the pastry items that like most people know how to bake and always they have it in the brunch or breakfast. It's made out of filet dough and it's have different filling options, either spinach, feta or ground beef. I said, okay, yeah, I miss that a lot. And then he said, why don't you bake some? And then I baked him the other day and we had some friends came over. They like it too. And then the next day and then the next day they asked for the börek.
And you baked it.
Yeah. And then I said, okay, I can be a baker. And then I start to bake for my friends. And then they start to place an order for the special events. I said, maybe I should move it in the professional way. Then we rent the shared kitchen in Lakeview Kitchen and Market. It's in Lakeview.
Okay.
It was a nice kitchen too. And we spent 2 years there since 2015. We were there like 2015 to 2017. And that time our chef, Luke, joined us.
Yeah. I want to get to Luke in a minute. I didn't know this till a few minutes ago. A couple of background questions. What brought you to Chicago?
Architecture, actually.
Really?
Yes. So I want to get my master. And that time, my brother lived in Tucson, Arizona. First, I went to visit him. And then I knew of Chicago has like so many nice architecture elements. So I said, okay, maybe I should go to Chicago and then see what I can find. And I start my journey in Chicago.
Had you visited here before? Or did you just come out of the blue?
I visited my uncle in 1999.
Yeah, so you were a little familiar with the city.
I knew the city a little bit. So.
And then once you settled here, did you find any places where you could have Turkish food? I mean, was there a void in that? For
yeah,
you?
I mean, there are so many Turkish restaurants, but it's not really you can taste it. Like if I close my eyes, try to feel myself in Turkey, they are not exactly. And that was the only thing, like, missing.
Yeah. Celine, you were shaking your head. And Celine, say where you're from. And
the food is like, I mean, it is.
And what part of Turkey are you from?
I'm from Istanbul.
Yeah.
But the food over here in Chicago, okay, they're trying to do, like, a little Turkish food, but it just is not quite there yet, so.
Yeah. Is there any other cafes like theirs, or is this?
I don't think there's any other place that makes Simit, so I am all about Simit. So. I got the best news today, so I'm like super happy about that.
Uh-huh.
Made my day and week.
So you opened the cafe at 2342 North Clark.
Correct.
And when did you open?
We opened like officially a week ago.
Oh, really? Really? Like this is breaking news. Really? Yes, oh, you just opened a week ago?
Yeah, that's true. But our catering company, the Randolph Street Market, when we met, so it was like online or in the event, almost 2 years. But officially in the place, we opened a week ago.
So that's now people can come in there and and get coffee. Turkish coffee. I had some at the Randolph Street Market.
Yeah, we have in the store Turkish tea.
Yeah.
We have it in the store. It was a quite busy day today.
I want to get was busy. Yeah. I want to get to Luke in a minute, but Turkish coffee, now that I remember that I had that, describe that. It kind of reminded me. I needed a kick when I was there, so it kind of reminded me a little bit of Cuban coffee, but it's different.
Flavor-wise is different, how they roast it, but the good part is the coffee grounds in it, so it's very strong flavor. Sometimes people get shocked, like they're like, oh, there's a coffee ground in it. So we always try to give them heads up, like don't drink the last part of it.
Yeah, you were telling me that when I bought it. Yeah.
And then also people, it's like espresso size, so people don't get enough of it. They always try to get the last sip, and that moment they eat the coffee ground. But beside that, it's very tasty, so strong. The caffeine level is not too high. It's like medium roast. And we can prepare it with sugar, without sugar. Usually it's good to add the sugar while it's brewing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you add the sugar after it's brew, it means you are like mixing all the coffee grounds in it. So it will give like very bitter and sour taste.
Yeah. And the foam disappears too, like if you mess around with it. Most important is the foam on top. So
that's true.
Yeah. Okay. So then you get Luke Brown, and I didn't know this until just a few minutes ago. Luke Brown, you're the chef?
Yes.
And you're from Texas?
I am from Texas.
And what part of Texas?
A small town outside of San Antonio called Schertz.
Oh, I think I've been through there. Yeah. I have. Yeah.
Generally on the way to Austin.
Yeah, right. I drove through it, yeah. So how'd you... that's really interesting that you would get involved at this restaurant. How did that happen?
So actually, I'm a trained French pastry chef, and so, you know, doing that job blast email kind of thing, stumbled upon their like small little operation in the shared kitchen. Got to hang out with them for a day. It went really well. We had a lot of fun. We made samitsa and samit, and just kind of like went from there. It was really fun. Yeah.
What did you learn? I mean, what was the sense of discovery for you? In this process that you didn't know before?
Crazy. Like a lot, actually. Like the methodology behind like the Smith is kind of intense. Like not everybody seems to get it, but it's so simple.
Like what do you mean?
So it's just like a basic enriched dough, and then you just like the proofing, the mixing times. It's all just kind of like.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
The most difficult part, like we are having, is like since we grow up with that culture. We see it everywhere. Like you are walking on the street, you see people are rolling the dough. So it's just like eyeballing. And when our chefs comes, it's difficult for me to tell them, is it either 45 minutes or 40 minutes? It's all depend on the air, humidity, dry. Like they have to feel it.
Ah, that's interesting.
Yeah. Like they rely a lot on like just feeling everything in the kitchen.
The feel,
to where, like, me, my training, everything is done like to the exact science, the grammar, like, everything. It's just, it's timed out, it's measured, there's no like room for error, to where like Turkish culture, there's just, you gotta like know it.
Yeah,
your body has to know it, your hands have to know the feel to it, like you memorize it.
You
almost
smell, like almost like the smell, you smell it, you feel it. It's just
exactly
What's it like describe the space. I mean, how big is your space, and when someone comes in and doesn't know that much about the cuisine, how do you explain it to them?
So we're an American European fusion, as I was saying. So we actually offer a lot of variety of items. The Turkish influence is there, but it's not everything. So we do like Danishes, we do like cheesecakes, raw items, vegan, gluten-free. We cater parties and things. Like It's an Americanized version, I would have to say. Okay. Is the best, closest way.
Okay, we got to take a break for some spots, and we're going to come back. You brought some food in. That was
awesome.
So nice.
Yeah.
So we're gonna sample some of the food and talk about that. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN, and we've got our guests from Cafe Corbel, a new, how do we describe it? Not just Turkish restaurant.
American-European fusion. Yeah.
And we brought in, it was so nice to bring in some pastries and stuff, so we're passing them around the studio right now. Tell us what we got right now, and explain in layman's terms what everybody's...
Sure, so first one was simit.
Simits.
Yeah, simits. So it's like a... The shape is like pretzel. The texture is like bagel.
Bagel, right.
It's like dipped into the molasses and then the sesames. It rolls with the sesames and then bake item. And the second item was simitsa. So we do the pizza.
This
form.
Is interesting to me. It's like a pizza.
Yeah. Pizza form, but it's made out of the simit dough.
How did you come up with that? I've been there, but is this a common thing, or did you invent that yourself, or what?
That's our invention, I would say.
That was actually what I was describing earlier. So that's what I first learned when I joined the team. That day I met the family, actually. This is what we were making in the kitchen. We were playing around. That was actually the early stages of this creation kind of coming about. So the one that y'all are having actually is the pesto, feta, and tomato simitsa. It's just pressed out into almost like a flatbread pizza style.
What do you think of this?
I'm in heaven.
Really?
Yeah. No, I mean, simit is such a traditional Turkish street food. It's in a very it's embedded in Turkish culture.
Uh-huh.
So I'm this is, I think, as close as it gets as simit in Istanbul. I mean, this is awesome. They did awesome.
Thank you. The only thing missing is the Bosphorus. So.
Yeah. I need a little tea and the vision, maybe a little view of Bosphorus, then I'll be yes, I'm in Istanbul.
Would this be a street food type thing? Would you see people walking around eating that on the street?
This is every day you see a lot of vendors, a lot of guys in the carts, guys walking with wooden things, and there's little bakeries. Every neighborhood claims or city claims they have the best simit.
They do.
Yeah, I mean, there's Istanbul, Eminönü, we have the best wooden, wood-burning oven simit. They call it taş fırın, basically, but wood-burning ovens. They're not factory-made. And there's, simit connoisseurs, they're oh my God, who has the best simit? And this is a pretty decent good simit. I mean, I'm happy.
And also in simit culture, usually Turkish people don't get only one. For example, if my mom and dad asked me to go grab them a simit, I would get 10 for each person. Regular thing. And we used to be in another kitchen with other bakers. Most of them are Americans. So we were explaining the easiest way. This is our Turkish bagel. And when we were receiving an orders, they were always in shock. There is some customer asking for 20 simits. And then there is another lady asking for 10 simits. How many bagels in a day you eat? It's we said, a lot. So
I mean, this has been done since 1500s, basically.
1500s.
It's a legacy. Every time we come back from Istanbul, I literally fill a whole luggage with simit. So because there's no simit now, I don't have to pay extra luggage because we have Cafe Corbel. I'm happy about that,
Yeah. I think I might have been saying this in our new green room here. These little books I write, I've been writing the last few years, whether it's on supper clubs or soul food and civil rights, the one connective theme in those is the power of food memory. Can you talk about, especially not both you guys not being in Istanbul, where does this take you when you eat it? Do you think about family gatherings? Do you think about relatives? Do you think about friends?
Yes.
Talk about the power of food memory for both of you.
Of course. For example, for my husband, they're Sunday brunch is the most important time that they spend with their family. So simit and börek is the two items. They always have it in their brunch. So whenever we bake or do some börek things at home, he always says like, oh, I feel like home. So those are the items like really like we have it always. So for me, when I eat it, I feel like I am really with my friends, families. Even Luke is not Turkish. We didn't know each other when I was in Turkey. But now, like, it's like he's so get into that culture. So we have our simit with feta cheese, tomato, nice. And olives together. And always our breakfasts are together like that. So we are baking, eating, enjoying at the same time.
We actually started doing something in the cafe where we call it like our tea time, and we just get like some burek or something, load up the plate with like feta cheese and some tomatoes, a little bit of like the pomegranate. What's that? The reduction. And we just like eat for an hour. Like,
because
you know, tonight it's like a simit. You don't just eat the simit by yourself, like it's more gathering things, like because you go to the baker, get simit for 10-20 of them for the family, and then everybody get together, eat simit, share it. So it's more like gathering items,
especially when it's warm and all crispy, like when it's just off from baker, you just go and if you hold off till you go home but start nibbling on it, you know, like, and stuff like that. This is awesome. I mean, simit is an amazing little miracle.
Everybody always walks out with bag and then walk out eating one.
Always.
You can't resist.
Luke, let me ask you what's the benefit and then maybe a drawback of not being part of the culture? In other words, having a fresh eye to it and then not having being embedded in the culture and coming to this.
The language.
Yeah.
It is. I'm slowly learning like certain words and things.
Well, you're from Texas. That's its own language.
It really is. We shorten everything. Yeah, we smash it into one word and that's it. Yeah. But no, like, I think that's the only drawback is the language. Everything else is just like an enrichment to my life. Like the opportunities to learn all these like different things has just like, you think you learn everything, but then the next day you walk in, there's something more. And I always appreciate that. Like, never get bored.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen a lot of, well, you've only been open. When did you open?
A week ago.
So we opened officially a week ago, but we've been in a soft opening kind of stage, grab and go, since February when we first moved into the storefront.
Have you seen, and this is for everybody, I don't have my stats here. Do you know what roughly the Turkish population is in Chicago? Ballpark?
I believe it's like 5,000.
5,000?
Yeah.
Because have you seen Turkish people come? It's only been a week.
Oh my gosh. Almost every day.
Yeah. Really?
Actually, yeah, no. Like what they were saying, how they come in, they order like the simit or the börek, they literally walk out eating it and having like two bagfuls.
Just like what Hector said. Yeah.
That's exactly what's been happening ever since we opened like the doors officially. It's been crazy.
That's what I'm going to be doing from now on. So.
Now, I ran into you at the Randolph Street Market.
Yes.
And it was just, you know, you're right when you walk in the market, there you are. There's a little food area, and I ran into you guys. How'd you end up there?
Actually, when I was in architecture school, my classmate was doing empanadas. Like, they were starting the business. And then he said, like, with his family, they are going to do the empanadas, and they are planning to attend the Randolph Street Market, which is happening in 2010. So that time he showed me his pictures. I was like, wow, it's interesting, nice. So I started to visit him in the Randolph Market Street. They were renting the same spots that we were when we met you. And then when I start this food business, I said, okay, Randolph Street Market is a good place to start for advertisement. So I contact them, and then they said, like, yeah, sure.
It kind of, and then we got to break for David Jennings in the news, but it was like a mini version of the Grand Bazaar.
<That's>
Not
true.
Quite, but you know what I mean. We'll talk about that after the news. I want to talk about our little tour we did in 2012, and we'll do that. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN.
Wisconsin. Constantinople, now it's Istanbul. Now Constantinople, been a long time gone. Constantinople, now it's Church of Light on a moonlit night. Every gal in Constantinople is an Istanbul.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN, and we're talking about Turkey, Istanbul, Turkey culture, Turkish culture, and Turkish food. We've got our friends. I wanted to bring them in for this. Hector and Celine Maladano, you were so nice to take me around Istanbul. It was a Saturday night. Well, it was a weekend, but Saturday night, 2012. So tell me your story about how you guys met. Hector, you're from Bridgeport originally, and then you meet a woman from Turkey. Yeah. So, yeah.
Born and raised in Chicago. Probably one of the few. But yeah, we went to Turkey. Selin was in charge of a gallery. It was an art expo. Was an art expo. So kind of hit it off. And we got married less than a year later.
I think you once told me 10 months after.
Yeah, about 10 or 11.
10 months, I think.
So you met her in a gallery in Istanbul?
She was in charge of the gallery. I was supposed to go to Prague, but there was all sorts of mudslides there, and it was making the news here. So I didn't think it would. If it's making the news here, I didn't think it would be a good idea to go over there. So I ended up going to Istanbul, and intrigued. I started seeing all sorts of different things happening. Signs of going to Turkey, and all of a sudden you start when you buy one car. Then everybody has one. That's how it started happening in Turkey.
Rick Steves, Europe TV, they had Istanbul, I guess.
He did a three-part series on Turkey. It was it really piqued my interest, and I really enjoyed it. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I met a lot of interesting people, a lot of passionate people over there. Old culture. I love old history. I love just different food. Histories. I do a lot of reading and everything. History, biographies, food. That's my interest.
What were you doing? I mean, so you were going to Prague. What were you doing over there anyway? Just taking pictures or just traveling?
We were traveling, me and my brother, and then we decided to, he was over there, and then, I take pictures, so I actually was taking a lot of pictures there. Then after we got married, we had to wait for about 8 years for someone to get her citizenship. Then we moved over there for her dad, and I just started doing a lot of street photography over there.
Sure, yeah.
And really developed to where I am now. There's a lot of beautiful faces in Turkey. There are so many beautiful faces. You see young ones, old ones, poor ones, rich ones. I mean, it's a really, really wide spectrum of folks out there.
And you had some, when we did a thing back in 2012, you had some of your work on display in a gallery, Tamarkan Gallery. That was all Turkish stuff?
Yeah, it was City Abandoned. City
Abandoned. It was City Abandoned. Yeah. But that was here.
That was here in Chicago.
Yeah, that was at the Rangefinder Gallery. Dan Tamarkin runs it. And I wasn't looking to show, but he saw my stuff, and he said that, why don't you have a show here? So I took him up on it, and it took off. I mean, I was just taking these pictures just for myself, never expecting them to show. We had a Ilford did our prints, and they liked them so much they made me a feature photographer on their website. Never in my life would I think that they would do that.
Leica Academy
was
They did your photo.
They wanted to use some of my photos for the Leica Historical Society, and this is all stems from the street stuff in Turkey.
Dan, when I did the piece, Dan Tamarkin said, I pulled this quote out. He said, your photographs are stirring records of the moment, a time and a place. And in many cases, these people and places no longer exist, which make your work all the more important from a documentary perspective. A mirror held up to our own lives and to the lives of people in far-flung places. I walked around with you. You carried two cameras. I remember you guys, you had two cameras everywhere
we went. Still have two cameras.
Yeah, everywhere we went that whole, 2 or 3 days. days. Talk about some of the places we went to. One thing I always tell people about, and you guys, what was that big street we went to? It was a Saturday night.
It was
Istiklal
Street.
Full of people.
That was Istiklal. That street never dies.
Talk about that street. And it's so, I mean, I've been to Times Square. It was more intense than Times Square. You know?
I mean, there's like people are always out there. There's cafes, there's restaurants, there's stores, and this is where people gather. I mean, just go hang out. That's the place.
I mean, I remember there's a roar. There's just a constant rumble.
Yeah.
It was weird. It was just as a constant. You know what we're talking about, right?
Yes.
That's in Istanbul.
I work in Istanbul in 2006. I was in an architecture company. And one time, 2 a.m., one of my girlfriends called me. And she said she has a date next day and we have to go shopping. I was like, okay, we will go tomorrow. I said, no, right now. And then we literally go shopping at 2:30 a.m.
Wow.
So it's like 24/7 city.
Yeah.
There's
food,
there's stores, there's music. I mean, there's everything. And then the other cafes we've been with you are like the side streets of basically Istiklal, going down to like Cihangir, Çukurcuma. Those are all new hip neighborhoods in Istanbul, so
I wonder how much it's changed what is it, 6 years since I was there?
It's changed a lot. I mean, it's really changed a lot.
Especially like the cafes and stuff, they're everywhere now.
I was doing some of my photography on the other side of this. It was this neighborhood called Tarlabasha, which is very poor. Everybody told me I shouldn't go there, but I just like taking pictures of that. I don't know what it says about me, but they say...
he met like a lot of people, in the neighborhood. One day I went with him because I was really curious what he was like, what he found there. And then everybody knew him. Like little kids running at him. Like, they're like, hey, Hector, how are you? In Turkish. And then the grandmothers, they're like, oh, he's good. He's okay. And like, he doesn't speak a lot of Turkish, but he knows his hello and, you know.
You know hello in Turkish? How do you say hello in Turkish?
Merhaba.
Okay.
Look, do you know Turkish?
You're maybe the only guy from Bridgeport who could say hello in Turkish.
It took me 8 years to learn that.
Really?
But yeah, it's very interesting. I just like the people. I'm not really... I feel like I stand out. But there are situations where Turks always come up to me and ask me for directions.
Oh my God, in Turkish. And then they go so mad when he doesn't respond because he doesn't know enough Turkish to respond. And then they're like, wow, your husband is very rude. He doesn't respond. I'm like, well, he doesn't speak a lot of Turkish. He's not very fluent. So that's why he can't. They're like, he's not Turkish? I'm like, no, he's not. But they always think he's Turkish.
And again, if you want to talk about outside of Istanbul, that's fine. I've been a little bit outside, but Istanbul, I mean, with the density and the light and the buildings and stuff, what does that do for you as a photographer in terms of using light and using shadows and finding things?
It depends seasonal. Like I've read about it, but when I was constantly doing, you start learning. In the wintertime, the sun's lower, so it casts longer shadows, so you're able to use that. And then with the architect, it just creates these really dynamic shadows. You can make really contrasty images with people, and their shadows are very long. In the summertime, it's very high. It was a great learning experience as a photographer. I really learned a lot using old buildings that have been there for centuries, and you know, like I said, it's just dynamic over there.
There's a picture of you. This is radio, but you took an elderly man with a hatchet or an Istanbul hatchman.
He had, he was interesting.
How do you get trust of people? I mean, is that a moment you just were passing in a moment? And
well, this particular individual wanted me to take a picture, so he pretty much forced me to take a picture. But yeah, he was very. Very interesting looking. Plus, he was carrying knives, so I pretty much obliged, you know. And usually I try to do unguarded stuff. On the occasion, I will ask for portrait, but usually that's not my interest. It's more of capturing the spirit of what's going on. Once you ask somebody, it breaks that spirit. So it's either going to be really big gestures of like hi, or very much, you know, they hide their face. One time I was taking a picture with my wife, and this lady started hitting me with her umbrella because she thought I took her picture. And then everybody came, you can't do that, you can't do that.
She was really hitting him hard. I mean, she was like, you can't take a picture. I mean, she's like an 80-year-old lady, and she's hitting Hector with umbrella, like, bam, bam, bam. We're like, and Hector's like, lady, what?
I was laughing because it was so absurd.
It was cracking up, I mean.
So I did take her picture, but it was like 10 minutes before that.
Can people see your work? Do you have a? I don't know. Do you have a website, or where can people check you out? Go ahead.
Yeah, my wife knows all this. Yeah. My wife knows all this because
he's got an Instagram page, Hector Maldonado Photography on Instagram. So
okay,
trying to get him to put more stuff out there. He's not a. He likes to do things for himself. He just doesn't like to put stuff out there for some reason.
Your portraits of people, they're so stirring, and I obviously that's some of you, but I mean, you're right, the people of Istanbul are just so photogenic. They really are. They tell a story, these pictures,
Yeah, their faces
are... all those neighborhoods, when you go, the neighborhoods he's walking, you see like grandmothers hanging out with their grandkids, they're playing out in the street, there's like laundry hanging, and like stuff like that. It's such a old world feel to it. It's such a modern city, and you don't think you would see these, but it's amazing stuff.
It's a fascinating, it's one of the best places I ever visited, and Turkish Airlines was great to fly there.
Awesome, they're awesome.
Yeah.
They're really, I like them.
It was before Kobe Bryant endorsed them or something. Talk about the Grand Bazaar. I went there, and your memories, we kind of made a little joke about Randolph Street Market and stuff, but tell the listeners what the Grand Bazaar is, and I mean, I don't know if we can even describe it, but
it's like the closest things I will say is like a vintage market here. So people have their items. It's like it's very hard to explain. It's like a more experience, but they have so many carpets or spice. It's like all kind of items.
It's an old hall. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
It's like with the corridors and the cupboard. It's like open air, but also it's covered as well. So it's like indoor and outdoor space they have. You can find so many authentic and nice items and vintage items there. So it's very...
It's huge. Authentic. It's huge.
Like Grand Bazaar, it's like a labyrinth. It's been built in like 1400s.
Right.
It's been like one of the oldest and the biggest markets there. Yeah. And it's just... You have to be prepared to go in the Grand Bazaar. I mean, it is such a...
Labyrinth.
Yeah, that's good.
You can get lost.
But if you go and explore, there's other places that aren't as touristy where the workmen are actually working.
Like the second floor of the Grand Bazaar?
Uh-huh. We didn't know that there was a second floor. We found this tea place.
Yeah.
And, it was close to the rooftop, so you get to see all of the roof. For me, it's very interesting because it's not something you see. So... for me to get glimpses of what real Turks are, seeing every day was an honor for me. So I love seeing those things. That's what spurs me on to take pictures.
Okay, we got to take a break, and I want to talk about some of the sweets you brought in. And then this has moved by pretty fast, but I want to talk about that. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN.
Standing in the heavy rain, I was someone I was not. Freezing cold, I follow the wind like an arrow. It will lead me to you.
Welcome back tonight. Is it wrong for me to say I should have a hookah pipe here? That music
it's
makes
Nargila
me...
in Turkey.
Yeah. I don't know if that's wrong for me to say that. Anyway, man, you outdid yourself. Eris Erkoka.
Correct.
What's your correct title at Cafe Corbel?
Cafe Corbel, I'm the owner. Yeah,
you're the
Cafe
owner. Corbel, yeah. And plug away. Don't be shy. Give me the address and give me the website and all that.
Sure. It's 2342 North Clark. It's the intersection of Clark and Fullerton. Right now, there is a construction in front of us, so maybe they will have a hard time to find parking, but they can park on the Fullerton. So our website is www.cafecorbel.com. So they can reach us.
Yeah. Man, we're also on Instagram and all the other social media, so come check us out.
Thank you so much for bringing... Now, tell us about the sweets that we're all having here.
Thank you.
You brought all these sweets. Describe them.
The last one that you try is a chocolate. It belongs to one of the suburbs in Istanbul, actually. It's where my dad is from.
Oh, really?
So
what suburb is that?
It's called Beyoğlu, and it's close to the street that you were mentioning, yeah. Taksim. So they made that chocolate and then in different shape. They mold it and then put some nuts in it. Either hazelnuts or walnuts, pistachio. So that's the chocolate that you try. And we have more other, we have other more options, like scones or Danish croissants, gluten-free options as well.
Really good stuff. You mentioned the suburb. This brings up a question I didn't have. Luke, being from Texas, and you guys, is there a... throughout all of Turkey, I suppose there's regionalism in food. Like in other words, you'll have a type of cuisine in New Orleans. You'll have another type of cuisine in Austin. Is that, does this stuff like that happen in Turkey? You have a different type of food in a different part of it?
Yes. For example, if you go to the west side of it, it's more olive oil, like more salads, more fish items you will find in the people's meal. If you go east side, it's more like a meat or grain base, and if you go like north side of the Turkey, it's more like vegetable things.
Yeah, but like Black Sea, basically Black Sea region, it's amazing. Like a lot of they called Karadeniz, that they have like amazing food, like kale, stuffed kale, like kale soup, a lot of beans,
stews,
like with corn. And then with southeast, like Eric said, like a lot of stews, also a lot of meat, and also they have baklava, like a lot of especially in, like in Antep. Mm-hmm. And then there's Urfa, is another city where they're very famous for their kebabs, where they actually, the ground beef they do, they don't use machines, they use specific, like the knives, they call them zirk, and then they grind the meat by knives only. Like that is an amazing, amazing kebab. Like that's
even the way how you explain it makes me like,
oh,
it sounds so intense.
There.
Like you're just like doing the motions, like cutting through the air.
We traveled all over, so for that.
Luke, you ready to get some muscles going?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, have you been there yet, Luke?
To Turkey? No, yeah. I haven't.
Would you like to go on a research
trip? Actually, for sure, I would.
Come back.
Yeah. Yeah. You were telling me during a break, I do like what you did with the pizza. You were telling me it took
The schnitzel?
Yeah.
Talk about it. To kind of nail it down, but...
What was that process like?
Frustrating, actually.
Yeah.
Like, because it goes back, again, like I was saying, like, I weigh everything to the grams. Like, we sat there and, like, just tested it out to find the perfect size for us and the amount of ingredients that we wanted in there, and now like it's like, I don't know, a machine back there. Like we just crank them out and people love them.
Does Eris, does she like approve you? Does she give a thumbs up, thumbs down? Does she sample everything, or her family, her husband?
She has a table all to herself, yeah. And like we generally just bring everything out to her. And yeah, that's exactly what happens.
In the time I have left, how often do you guys go back, both of you?
I try to go once a year.
Yeah, I mean, I have to go back every 6 months for my medical stuff, but yeah. Other than that, like that once a year is a must. I can't, yeah, I have to have to see by Bosphorus. If I don't see it, I'll get sick, so, yeah.
It's there was just a piece in the New York Times this week after we already booked all this, but they talked about how it's one of the fastest growing economies on Earth, and they talked about that new airport. I don't know how up to date you are on this new airport they're building. It's going to like a 9 or 10 year project, but it's going to be the biggest airport in the world with 200 million passengers a year. Wow. Is growth a big deal there? I mean, are people, and how do they control growth? How does it affect the economy? That's a lot of questions in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think Turkey is a growing country. They have so many new projects for also like in the Turkey or outside Turkey. Like they are expanding.
Evolving. Like, yeah. I mean, amazing. I haven't seen the airport. Maybe we'll be going there when we go, but it's supposed to be really big. Haven't seen it then.
Yeah, they say they're going to start, I think, the first phase in October. So, okay. But it's a long, yeah. long project. Yeah. So, okay, in the time we have left, I want you to all say how people can find you again. Why don't we start with you guys, the Instagram thing and all that.
Hector's is on Hector Maldonado Photography on Instagram.
Okay. And
she said it.
Yeah. And the cafe, talk about that again, how people can find you.
It's 2342 North Clark, intersection of Clark and Fullerton. And the website is www.cafecorbel.com.
And you still go to the Randolph Street Market every year? It's the last weekend of the month, right?
Yeah, we were there last week. Twice in December. And then last weekend, we are going to be there next.
Yeah. That was crazy.
Next month, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be there.
Awesome.
We're going to be selling our book. You know, we got a book out of it. We're going to have our camper van there.
Oh, nice.
So I think we'll be there on Sunday.
So you'll be having lunch with us, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to come. It was just great stumbling in. You get a lot of that?
Pick me up on the way, please.
You get people who just, like, wander in like I did and say, like, what? It was odd to see Turkish food at this market. You know, do you get a lot of surprises?
Lots of, like, everybody asks, like, what's börek? What is baklava? Also, we have baklava in the market.
Even at the the market itself, but like at the cafe too, that question is always asked.
I'm gonna leave some. Our next guests are from Uncommon Ground, so I'd like to let them have some of this. You know, they do some good stuff with food too, so we can share that with
it's all
them
theirs.
Too. Okay, well, thanks so much, you guys. It was
this went
very well. So good luck in all your endeavors. Good luck with your photography, Hector.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you guys at the Matchbox soon.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so thanks. We're gonna be back after David Jennings in the news, and we're gonna talk about Uncommon Ground and some of the things they're doing there. On Devon. So don't go away on WGN.